This is Face the Music, an Electric Light Orchestra song-by-song podcast. Episode 171, The Quick and the Daft. Song all about.
The Quick and the Daft is a bonus track on special edition of the 1977 album Out of the Blue, released on February 20th, 2007. Recording for the song began in the late 70s and wasn't finished until 2006. In the May 11th, 2007 issue of Goldmine, Tierney Smith wrote,
"The CD's bonus tracks are only mildly interesting, including a brief up-tempo instrumental, The Quick and the Daft."
For many years, digital downloads of the song from iTunes and Amazon were mislabeled as The Quick and the Draft.
"I'm not a smart man,
but I can run like the wind blows."
Hi, I'm Eric Winsenson.
And I'm Eric Paul Johnson.
And today we're looking at The Quick and the Daft.
I think half of this song applies to me, and I'm not a very good runner, so I should tell you which half.
Well, I don't think he means quick in the speed sense, but quick as in the comprehensive sense.
Oh, so the song title still applies.
Yeah, but nice little instrumental, would-be B-side, would-be interlude, something like that. It's good. It's just too damn short. I actually started going, "Yeah, this is okay. I like it." And then it's over. Okay, well, that was okay. At least it has strings, real ones. So that automatically caught my attention of this is not new. So I can see this maybe as an interlude someplace on there or something like that, but I can't really see it as its own song on Out of the Blue. Mm-hmm. Out of the Blue's already got a good instrumental on it, which everybody else except me hates.
Everybody hates Believe Me Now?
No, I'm talking about The Whale.
Oh, The Whale. Where the hell was this? I don't mean bonus track on Out of the Blue remaster, special edition, or in a locker for 30 years. I mean this kind of production style. Where was this on Zoom? And where is this on the next couple of albums that we're going to have to slog through? This is ELO. This straight up is hardcore ELO. This sounds like ELO. It's got an orchestra. There's a choir in here. It's a big song that swallows you up and just takes you on for the ride, and it's really great, and it holds your attention, and it's a friggin' event. Unlike 21st century ELO, where, well, here's a song. And that's it. I must have heard this before. I checked out the special editions from the library, I don't know, 10 years ago or so or something like that, and did some copyright violation by just ripping it from the disc. Since I was dirt poor at the time, I couldn't buy the songs. And I must have heard it. I don't know why it didn't stick with me and that I completely forgot all about it. In my head, as we were coming up on the song, I thought it's going to be another one of those bland armchair theater B-side Wilburys Volume 3 kind of retread kind of things. But I listened to it this week, and it's a stone-cold friggin' awesome song. I friggin' like it. I don't like it. I friggin' love it. Yeah, I can see this as a transition or an interlude between a track or two. maybe even somewhere on Concerto for a Rainy Day. It's wonderful. That whole driving strings and choir thing is great. And then it dips into that dreamy, slow-down middle part there before it jumps right back into it. This is what I like. This is what I want. This is the kind of ELO stuff that I love. Stuff that sounds big and just awesome, and you're just like, oh, holy crap. Not this later stuff where here's your basic rock song, enjoy.
Yeah. The only reason I'm underwhelmed by it is just simply because it's too short. It just suddenly is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what gets me, is that you're on the roller coaster and here comes the loop and oh, someone's missing.
And around, hey, and we're done.
Yeah, and we're done.
Yeah.
I see pitchforks. Well, I'm not going to see angels, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be my only beef. You know, kind of like Believe Me Now. Too short. It's so friggin' great, but it's too short. You know, Corey Gomel said a while ago, hey, Jeff Lynne, how about throwing a bone to your ELO fans and put something that sounds ELO-y on your newer albums? Well, here you go. I wish Jeff would hear this and think, I gotta do this once in a while, because this is interesting. I don't want to get into Foon or Alone in the Universe, because I just listened to them both yesterday, July 26th.
How's your insomnia doing?
You know, it went away. But listen to those albums. Sweet Jesus, I miss stuff like this. This was just friggin' awesome. Short, but friggin' awesome.
Kind of like my wife. Uh-oh.
Oh, there.
Now, hey, at least I said she was awesome.
Yes.
But that's the whole thing, is I was really getting into the song, and even though I could tell by the title that he never seriously... I don't know why he did all the production and everything on this. Mm-hmm. Obviously got Lewis Clark to work on it. But with a name like The Quick and the Daft, you know, that was just kind of like a placekeeper name.
Yeah.
And so it really had no intention, at least by the end of putting this on the album. So I just wish it would have shown up as a B-side. It would have been a perfect B-side to something on there.
Yeah, I mean, 2006, well, early 21st century when this was completed, Jeff was not involved with strings or choir and didn't want anything to do with that, as Zoom obviously proved. So I'm guessing this was pretty much done. I don't know if Jeff did a little touching up when it was time for the Out of the Blue remaster release, but to sit on this for 30 years, because clearly strings and choir weren't added in 2006.
True.
To sit on this for 30 years, I don't know if it was like I'm moving on to the next thing and you just kind of forgot that it existed until it was time to look for some bonus tracks or what. But yeah, if it's not going to fit on the album, B-side, definitely. Hey, put it on the B-side if it's over. This way, at least it would have been a reason to buy the single.
True.
I wasn't crazy about It's Over.
And I completely forgot that it was a single.
Well... Only got to number 70-something, so you're not the only one.
True.
Got something to say about The Quick and the Daft? Then call the telephone line voicemail.
623-850-3375. Call now. It's The Quick and the Daft. 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 It's The Quick and the Daft.
Well, sorry. Usually I'll last a bit longer than that.
Awkward.
Just you're such a hot song.
Good hello, everybody. It's me, that Donald guy behind that Xanadu mess, and here's my take on The Quick and the Daft. Now, this is quite the big piece out of the blue original landscape, an unaltered, untouched, I think, instrumental, and it punches you in the face with a crap load of pure, uncut, bold ELO, far more than one mortal can withstand. And just as it's about to mug you for your wallet and eardrums, poof, it mysteriously jumps in before you manage to shake it off. What was this damned thing of beauty? Where did it fit in the original album? Should it have been an outtake from Mr. Blue Sky? Or anywhere else in the concerto piece? Why did Jeff originally take this bad boy out in the first place? What the freaking hell, man? Well, as long as Jeff didn't screw around with the drums, then it's all good here.
Well, hello, this is Dr. Troy, and this week I'm going to try to be a little quick and a little daft. Yeah, I really like this, I guess you'd call it segment. I've never heard it before. It's nice. I love the way that it effortlessly, or it seems effortlessly to those of us listening, keeps segueing from the fast part to the slow part. And the slow part kind of reminds me of the main melody of Confusion. So I really like that, and I don't know why, I haven't seen this movie in a while, but the fast part reminds me of a scene in Mel Brooks' High Anxiety. I don't know if you've seen that movie or not, but in the scene, Dick Van Patten is locked in his car, and the radio comes on and starts to play this song at maximum volume, and it goes something like... I don't know why, but the fast part of The Quick and the Daft reminds me of that song. I'm sure it's serendipitous. I don't think Jeff Lynne ever planned to work with Mel Brooks or ever did, but for what it's worth, that's what it reminds me of. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's not one of Mel Brooks' best films. It's not Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein, but it's got some good laughs in it. So, High Anxiety if you haven't seen it. I'll talk to you next week.
So here's something a little extra for the expanded episode, people. This idea came to me after I had finished talking with Winsenson. I powered him down, put him in the box, and... put him in the closet until I need him next week. We, and I don't think a lot of other people, know what was the purpose of The Quick and the Daft. Was it going to be a song? Was it going to be interludes? I came up with this after we were done talking. Maybe, just maybe, it was going to be the overture and the finale for Out of the Blue. Every ELO album from On the Third Day to Secret Messages had some sort of beginning to it, overture or a prologue, and some albums had a finale or epilogue or just a fade-out that tied into the beginning of the album. Out of the Blue is the only ELO album in that time period that has no beginning, no end, no overture, no finale, no prologue, no epilogue, nothing that ties the end of the album into the beginning of the album, and the beginning into the end of the album. It fades in with Turn to Stone, it fades out with Wild West Hero. But maybe these were supposed to be the Out of the Blue overture and Out of the Blue finale. And if so, it might have sounded something like this. I say something like this because I have to work with what I got. I think the blending between the overture and Turn to Stone would have been done better if I was Jeff Lynne and I had access to the full tapes. But let's just do this.
Like it, hate it, what does Madeline think?
Hello, this is Mrs. Goldie. And today I listen to The Quick and the Draft.
Daft.
I mean daft.
No, you said it right. For some reason it's listed as draft. That needs to be fixed.
I mean, I said it right the first time.
Error on Eric's part. No, no, this one isn't on there.
Error.
What'd you think of the song?
It was completely ninja-fied. Awesome. This is Mrs. Goldie signing out.
Wow, she liked it.
Face the Music, an Electric Light Orchestra song-by-song podcast, is a production of Radio Trolla Entertainment, Assorted Deli Meats Amalgamated. You can contact us by voicemail at 623-850-3375 or email us at eloftmpodcast@gmail.com. Keep up to date on the show by joining our Facebook group and spread the word by sharing the link or giving us a quick rating on iTunes. You can financially support the podcast at patreon.com/ELOpod. Next week, episode 172, Latitude 88 North.
Where the hell was this? I don't mean out of the blue bonus track or in the locker or something. What a time to interrupt. What?
Why is he in the hamper?
Because he wants to be in the hamper.
Are you talking to the other?
Yes, I'm trying to record right now. Now's not a good time for you to be up here.
Hello.
Just leave him be. He's comfortable, he's asleep, he's content. I know you do. Give him some space for a little bit. You didn't close it all the way.
Shut up.
I mean, if you're going to slam a door.
So she went away in a huff?
Yes, because she couldn't play with the cat.
Well, like I said, cats love nothing more than to be woke up from their nap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same with me.
Yeah. Where the hell was this?